Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Second hour, Darren Donick and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game on this Wednesday morning. Hope everybody's enjoying this beautiful day here in Middle Tennessee. Tim Hasselbeck coming up at high noon, our weekly chat with him. But right now we bring in somebody we have loved to talk to over the years, former Titans and Ravens safety, Bernard Pollard, is on the line with us on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And you can follow him on Twitter. It's free and easy to do, at CrushBoy31. Bernard, how you doing?
I'm good. How y'all doing?
We're doing fantastic. Want to get your thoughts, just because this season the defense has not performed for the Titans the way everybody expected them to, and the missing ingredient is a guy that you played for in Dean Pease. And I just want to know that dynamic of a defensive coordinator and what you think of really not having that element this season. Big deal, not a big deal for this Titans defense?
Well, I definitely think it's a big deal. I think, you know, a lot of people have seen the importance of a seasoned play caller, a guy that's been around, understands the game, understands how to put his playmakers in position, understands how to game plan. You know, he is Coach Pease is fantastic. Obviously, you know, winning the Super Bowl with him in Baltimore. Just saw him last week. So, you know, Coach Pease is just, you know, he's phenomenal at what he does. And I think, you know, when you look at the Titans defense and you look at situational downs and you look at just kind of some of the, you know, some of the places that, you know, or positions the guys have been put in, they have not won those battles. They have not won those downs. They have not won these games. They've been exposed, if you would say. And, you know, they got to be better as far as coaching and playing.
He didn't happen to mention that he's really itching to come back and he's bored out of his mind. He didn't happen to say that, did he?
Coach Pease always wants to coach football, man. But I think, you know, a lot of people don't understand the toll it takes on your body for coach, you know, and just the time away from family and everything else. And and I mean, it's crazy. It is for coach. That's how it's even worse for a player. So.
You're another guy that understands the dynamic of leadership in a room, and I want you to tell us and our listeners, big deal, not a big deal, when you lose guys like Wesley Woodyard and Logan Ryan and Jarrell Casey, on guys on that side of the ball that certainly had an influence on people in the room, and now all those guys are removed. And is that a big deal, not a big deal? Because certainly you saw that firsthand in Baltimore for sure. How much is that needed in a room, in your opinion?
It's a big deal. I think, you know, I think Wesley Woodyard is I mean, one of my all-time favorite teammates. And I might not have told him this enough, but he's a guy where you respected him on and off the football field. He put in the time. He put in the work. You know, as far as taking care of his body, his mental, to understand the game and to make sure he was, you know, relaying all of that to his players. But you look at when you miss all of those pieces at once, it's not like, you know, one year, you know, one guy left, another year, another guy left. All those guys are gone at one time. So Logan Ryan, when you look at the secondary, he's a guy where you're like, man, dang, like that's a piece that they need at the nickelback position. That's a piece that they need at the cornerback position. That's a piece they need in that room to keep everybody under control, to remind them as far as situational football. He's a smart player. He's an instinctive player. He understands where to go, how to do it, how to communicate that. That's definitely a piece. Jarrell Casey is a guy that I think was, you know, can move anywhere on the defensive line and wreak havoc. But I also at the same time, with Woodyard, you know, missing out of the middle, or even miss it on the sideline to be able to congratulate those guys coming on and off the football field, to be able to talk about adjustments and everything else, you know, that's a coach on the sideline as well. That's a coach in the game. And when you miss all three of those pieces, man, that's a big hit to your team, not only your defense, but to your team. So, you know, replacing that is hard. When you miss pieces like that, when you try to replace that, it's very difficult to find those guys in the draft and to find those guys in free agency.
Bernard Pollard on the line with us. A guy that's received a lot of praise over the years is Greg Roman. But I also have heard, Bernard, that once you figure out his system, that he has a hard time veering off his system and, I guess, adding new wrinkles, making adjustments. It's like, here's my playbook, here's what I do, and this is what I'm sticking to. I've heard that. You had to game plan against him in the Super Bowl. You're obviously very familiar with Greg Roman. People are starting to say that, like, okay, what's different about this Ravens offense this year? And I've heard people make comments about Greg Roman. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's funny that you talk about that, and I know a lot of people in Baltimore, if they can kill me, if they can murder me and get away with it, I think they would definitely try. But, you know, they're pissed off, man, about the fact that, you know, I've talked about the Baltimore Ravens, and you know, just because I play for a football team doesn't mean that, you know, I just talk good about them and I lie about their football team. I like the game of football. I want to talk about football. When you talk about the Baltimore Ravens, everybody want to come down on Greg Roman. Everybody's talking about how Greg Roman isn't doing this or doing that. We got to stop for a minute right now, because we have to understand Greg Roman installed and created an offense for Lamar Jackson. So when you create an offense for a specific player to be able to succeed in that offense, you are limited at adjustments. You're limited at certain things that you can do because the player that you are coaching or you created it for is limited in his ability to be able to do things. And so we can blame Greg Roman, but at the same time, Lamar Jackson needs to get a lot of the blame. And the reason why I say we can blame Greg Roman, I'm not going to talk about Harbaugh, because Harbaugh doesn't know and understand what's going on. And people might take that as a shocker. They might say it's hate. John Harbaugh knows nothing about offense or defense. He's a special teams guy. So when we talk about the Baltimore Ravens, Lamar Jackson cannot – I tell a lot of people all the time, if we look at Lamar Jackson, what is he doing as far as – where is his growth at? Everybody's talking about he grew from last year to this year. Where's the growth? I don't see it, and a lot of defensive coordinators don't see it. What the Baltimore Ravens are saying is, we're going to go out with our play. Lamar Jackson, if all hell breaks loose, our number 8 is better than your 11 players on the football field. And that's true 95% of the time. Number 8 is dynamic in his athleticism and his ability to be able to run. I believe he's an average passer. And what I tell people about the growth, going back to the growth, he's not calling out any assignments. He has a freaking mouthpiece that covers his mouth. There's no adjustments. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't swing the offensive line this way or that way. He doesn't know how to do that. So Greg Roman is limited in his play calling on what he can do with Lamar Jackson. So when we all blame Greg Roman, we got to go look at the product on the football field in Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson, and I think they're doing him a disservice because they're not teaching him those things. They're saying go out and run that play no matter what. I'm looking at guys that are overloaded in the box, guys that he should be checking, but he's not. They're running their play and saying, if all hell breaks loose, Lamar, just run. And I don't think that's fair to Lamar. I don't think it's fair to blame everything on Greg Roman. This is a collective effort with the Baltimore Ravens. They knew what they were getting themselves into. And you can't do anything when guys don't adjust, when guys don't talk. You get used to what they're doing offensively.
We're talking to Bernard Pollard for – of course, this is a great week to talk to him. He has such great background with the Titans and the Ravens as they get set to go head-to-head. Bernard,
By the way, I was like, this is radio. I was sitting there in like a robe, and I just lit my pipe when I was listening to him. I mean, yeah, Bernard was on a roll. That was good.
Good stuff. So, Bernard, let's take it a step further. The Titans, it's been obviously very frustrating to watch them defensively because they've been basically just picked apart 10 yards at a time. But this Ravens offense, as you just sort of described, is definitely different. They're not the type of team that's going to sit back and hit the matchups and find the weak link. Is this a better matchup somehow for the Titans D?
I do. I think this is a game where defensively you can kind of get some confidence back. because athletically, as far as front seven wise, I think that they can go out there and play with anybody. I think when it comes down to the secondary, they're not going to get that typical spread offense or that typical quarterback that can come in and make the checks and adjust to, you know, where I have watched the Titans games, and I'm looking at games where guys are playing far off. I'm looking at, you know, I'm trying to understand what they're doing in the back end. So this is one of those games where they're going to be able to get some of that swagger back and just, you know, Lamar Jackson or this offense, they want to throw the ball directly in front of him. That's the easiest throw for him. So I think, you know, for the linebackers, for the safeties, I think this can be a huge game for them. You know, so I look at this football game and I say this is probably one game where I think offensively and defensively, and we got to hope that special teams doesn't break apart because, you know, it's hard to put that back together when that third unit is not carrying their weight.
I'm glad you mentioned the play – playing off and giving up the underneath stuff. That has come under a lot of criticism, and a lot of former players are the ones that are pointing it out, and not just yourself, Bernard. So I always think about it. I was a basketball player, and it's like if I know I can't guard a guy one-on-one tight, I know I've got to play off, but I'm going to give up the outside shot, and if the guy can shoot, I'm in big trouble. But so what do you see? What's the right balance? If you don't have a Dory Jackson and you don't have Christian Fulton, you know, some of the guys they hope they would have back there, what do you do if you just don't quite have the speed to play tight? Or should they be doing it more than they are?
Well, you know, I think going into this game, knowing and understanding what the Baltimore Ravens have. You know, the Baltimore Ravens, they want to ground and pound. They want to play bully football. Obviously, with them losing the tight end in last week's game, they're going to be limited in what they can do, or even bringing a guy in off the street, or even bringing a guy in that doesn't have the experience. They're going to have to try to put a guy in that can run the run packages like Baltimore has been running. So I think when it comes down to the secondary for the Tennessee Titans, they don't have a receiver that can really do much. And a lot of people have been talking about that for Baltimore, saying Lamar Jackson doesn't have the pieces. He doesn't have this receiving core. No, if Lamar Jackson had the receiving core, it would be an argument every single day in Baltimore's locker room, because Lamar Jackson can't get top receivers the ball. If the kid that they just brought in, the guy from Dallas Cowboys, the receiver who got hurt, but they end up getting him back.
Yeah, Dez Bryant.
If Dez Bryant gets healthy and is able to do what he's been doing in the National Football League, that's an argument waiting to happen, because Dez Bryant is not just going to run slants and run across the middle. Right now they got guys that they drafted, guys that they brought in. Willie Snead is probably the best receiver that they got, but he's limited in his route running ability. So I think this is a plus for the Tennessee Titans defensive secondary, because you can go in, you can get in their face, press them. I think, you know, playing by your back, letting Byer get you're going to have overthrows this week. You're going to have errant passes, but balls are going to be directly across the middle. So if Byer does not leave this game with two interceptions, if the Baltimore Ravens defense, the Tennessee Titans defense doesn't get three-plus interceptions, it's going to be a shame, because they have to take advantage of this passing game that's limited in what they can do. You know, so I don't see anybody that the Titans should be afraid of. Because from the receiver standpoint, if they did have a guy, they don't have a quarterback that can get it to him. But, you know, with them having a quarterback, they still don't have a receiver that can do multiple things in the passing game against them.
Let's flip to the other side. We know how deadly the play action and the crossing routes have been for the Titans offense. A.J. Brown is so good at catching a ball and changing directions explosively and then running after the catch. Corey Davis excels in the crossing game. But is it fair to say, Bernard, I know the answer before I ask it, but I enjoy hearing you talk about this part of it, because it illustrates how much the game has changed. Is it fair to say you couldn't run that kind of offense back when in the prime of your career because of the heat that you would take over the middle on some of these routes they're running?
Oh, definitely. Guys coming across the middle, especially if it was five yards and in, you were getting hit if you came across the middle. But, I that's not today's NFL. Today's NFL, they want to see scoring. They want to see offense. You know, they want to see explosive plays from the offensive standpoint. Defensive players are penalized with – if they sneeze wrong, they're penalized. It's just one thing. You know, it's this game has always kind of been offensively, teeter to the offense, and it's that way, you know, that much more now in today's football. So, I think when you look at the Tennessee Titans, man, Davis is having an outstanding year. I think he's having an outstanding year. A.J. Brown is phenomenal. He's a physical presence on the field. I just think he needs to be a little more consistent. They need more. They need blocking. They're going to have to block better offensively on the offensive line. So Tanner Hill can get back to what he did last year and then get back to those explosive plays. But I think this can potentially be a game with the Baltimore Ravens because they're going to play zero coverage. They're going to get into their faces. They're going to challenge the receivers because they're going to say, Tannehill, we're going to make you make tight throws, which I think there should be four or five plus explosive plays, 20 yards or more in this game for the Tennessee Titans. But we got to look at, too, that bell cow and Derrick Henry. They're going to have to get him going, and I don't think that's going to – I don't see it being a problem, but we'll see.
Bernard Pollard is with us, former NFL safety and now avid NASCAR fan as well. You brought up A.J. Brown. What is it that you see that makes you think, okay, yeah, there is another level, and then what is it that he needs to do to get to more of that, I'm not going to say elite status, but a true number one wide receiver for this team?
I mean, it's got to be one of those things when you look at what Arthur is doing offensively. He needs – I think A.J. Brown needs to separate himself now. When the game opens, he needs to be the guy that Tannehill goes to. He needs to be that dude. And I think right now, I think we all can agree Corey Davis has kind of been that guy. With them missing some other pieces at the receiver position, Corey Davis has been balling. But I think if A.J. Brown wants that, the consistency with catching those contested footballs, being the guy that Tannehill goes to when you open up the passing game, as far as the having the OC create plays for you to get you open to catch footballs, winning those battles, he needs to take a step forward and wanting to be that guy, but then creating the competition between him and Corey Davis. Because once again, Corey Davis, the contract wasn't picked or his option wasn't picked up, and this guy is balling right now. He's saying, you know what, if you didn't pick up the option, I'm going to make you pay for that. And, so he's having a great year, but A.J. Brown's going to have to do something to separate himself in that receiver room, on the football field. He's got to be a guy that defenses fear. And I think he's a guy that defenses fear, but at the same time, as the game get going, they're looking like, we can kind of let off a little bit because this dude ain't doing what we think he's capable of doing. So there we go.
You saw Arthur Smith firsthand as an assistant when you were here with the Titans, and then we've seen him over the past year and a half really grow as a play caller. Now his name is mentioned as a potential head coaching candidate. So from your eyes, what have you seen in his development that might make you think he's ready for that next step?
I mean, I'm one of those dudes, man, where I just was just talking on Twitter with the Chiefs put some stuff up about Todd Haley, and as you talk about Arthur, Arthur is phenomenal at what he's doing. I think Arthur still has a lot to learn. When it comes down to, dealing with the football team, leading a football team, calling plays, understanding the players and being successful. I think he needs a couple more years of success, before we talk about putting him in a head coaching role. That role, man, I think, for us as a society, when we look at sports and everything else, we want to quickly, project somebody into a role and put them in a position of leadership as far as the head coach being an overseer of a football team. And I don't know if Arthur's there yet. Obviously, I have not been around Arthur the last few years, but, I doubt, what I've known of him and everything else and what I see on the sideline have changed. But I'm not saying that he's not good. I'm not saying that he's not capable. I just say maybe a couple more years in an OC position, learning and understanding, and gaining a couple more years of success and just figuring players out and doing his thing, before we put him in that position, I think would do him justice before throwing him there. And then we see just a humongous breakup. And, then he goes back to either being an offensive coordinator or being an assistant somewhere.
Bernard, leave us with this. I know that you've gotten to do a lot of cool things with racing as you've become a fan of NASCAR. You got to interview Jimmy Johnson, the 7-time champion who just called it a NASCAR career. What were some takeaways from being able to talk to the 7-time champ?
Ah, man, an awesome example. A dude that handled everything with grace. Obviously, I don't know him like that off the track. As I tell my kids and I tell people all the time, we don't know the athlete that we're praising. We're just talking about what he's done on the track, football field, court, he or she has done, you know, in their prospective sports or whatever. He's a guy, man, where I've gained a lot of respect for. We actually just did a Zoom call, a couple Zoom calls yesterday with some kids in North Carolina as far as the schools. And it was just phenomenal being able to hear his story, being able to hear him, you know, try to relate to the kids and talk to them and give them, you know, some wisdom on how to live life and how to do things professionally. You know, this guy handled you know, his career with grace. And, I mean, he's moving to another career as far as another racing career. And, I mean, I have no doubt that this guy is going to be able to understand what he's doing and try to get to the top of that. So, man, it's just been awesome being able to learn this sport. I don't have it all, you know, understood yet, but, you know, I got enough to where I can kind of hold a conversation. But, I mean, learning has just been so much fun. It's been totally opposite of what's been told to me. Oh, you know, my growing up, you know, from a young boy has been totally opposite, and it's just truly been a blessing for me.
Well, it's fun to watch for sure, and see you on iRacing as well. So appreciate the time today as always, my man.
I appreciate you guys. Thank you for having me.
Bernard Pollard, former Titans, Ravens, and played in other places as well, safety in the National Football League. Always enjoy our conversations with him. We'll have more on the Titans and Ravens matchup coming up this week. But first, it's my time to tell you about BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. And they have a lot of different things to draw you in. They want new customers. I have been a customer since they launched in our state, and I have been very successful. I told you about my big parlay that I hit over the weekend. Well, you can do the same thing. All you have to do is download the app or go to BetMGM.com. They're inviting new customers to get a piece of the action with Instant Match. Sign up today, get your first deposit instantly doubled with up to $500 in free bets when you enter the bonus code INSTANT1025GAME. Then get ready to turn big plays into paydays with the most innovative parlay selection tools available, boosted odds specials, daily promotions, and much more. It's the same people. You've heard about MGM before. It's the same people that have the hotels, casinos, and sports books on the Las Vegas Strip. They are now running this app right here in our state. Download the BetMGM app today or go to BetMGM.com and use the bonus code INSTANT1025GAME to get your first deposit match with up to $500 in free bets. If it's game day in Tennessee, it's showtime at BetMGM, the official sports betting partner of the Tennessee Titans. You must be 21 years or older. You must be in Tennessee. Visit BetMGM.com for full lists of terms and conditions. For problem gambling support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.